Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Yo, yo, yo! Oh, I feel like crime time. Yo, yo, yo! Welcome.
Pop a woody and check your woodies. It's
yeah. That's how we do it here on Wrestling Daily. Welcome to Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily. We're delighted to welcome you on this Wednesday edition, where you know what happens on Wednesdays. It's the Daily Boys in the house, and we're going to discuss some wrestling today. MJF has made some fresh comments in a recent interview that has got us thinking, could he see himself in WWE in the future? I also spoke to Sonya Deville today. Some cool stuff coming out of that chat, as well as your Ultra Chats. You guys dictate the show and so much more here on Wrestling Daily.
Hey, I'm here. Alex is making a quick wardrobe change. But yes, we are here for another edition of Wrestling Daily. It is Wednesday, so you know what time it is. It is time for the Daily Boys, SP3, AMAC, Alex McCarthy, here to talk about the latest wrestling news. We just need from... There it is!
SP3 told me to go get my jumper, and I was like, oh, shit, I forgot. So, there you go.
Had to Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
I'm alone, brother. I've just got all kinds of stuff happening on mine. Let it snow, the young man said. Oh, God damn it, I'm tired. Bolted up those stairs. Anyway, thank you, SP3, for holding down the fort. Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling Daily here on the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel. Titular news we will get into momentarily, but first bit of housekeeping, thumbs up, subscribe, all of that good stuff. Please help the good brothers grow. We would appreciate it very much. And have your say. We love it when you dictate the show with a hot take. Maybe it's Jerko Littner campaigning, whatever it is. Get involved, wrestletalk.com/wrestlingdaily. We would love to hear what you guys have got to say, either about the news or anything in the world of wrestling. Titular news, SP3. Tell the people what SP3. So many.
Three syllables.
There's too many. tell them what MJF has been saying in his latest interview.
So yes, Maxwell Jacob Freeman, better known as MJF. Of course, he has the big show tonight in Long Island for AEW Dynamite, his hometown. His mom has already put up on Twitter a picture of the last time her son wasn't an a-hole, and it was a picture of MJF when he was 8 years old. So that was nice. That was a nice little toy. But he's doing interviews too, of course, promote Dynamite tonight in Long Island, and he had something interesting to say once again. You know, we had the interview a couple of weeks back ahead of the Darby Allin feud that ahead of the CM Punk first altercation. He said that in 2024 he's going to have a bidding war off of him, but now in Sports Illustrated with the interview with the platform, MJF discussed the recent promo battle between The Miz and Edge, and he said, and I quote, "You've got they've just trying to make their show the best they possibly can. I'm not mad. I completely understand it. And who knows? I might be working with those two guys in 2024. And that line by Punk about me being a less famous Miz, that resonated because people used to actually think that. But I'm smart enough to know better. My match last month at Full Gear against Darby Allin proved otherwise. I am equally as outstanding in the ring as I am on the stick. And that led to our question that you see on the Twitter news of, could MJF work in WWE? Because that's an interesting proposition, because it's something that is regularly talked about when people say, you know, we've been seeing so much talent from WWE either let their contracts expire and jump over to AEW or get released by the company and then jump to AEW. A lot of people have led the question of who's going to be the first AEW star to go from AEW to WWE, and more often than not, it's MJF that people usually talk about. But MJF, with the way he's become a star, with the way his promos work, with the way his whole act works, could it work in the scripted, restricted, environment of WWE? AMAC.
Chucking it to me. No, is the answer. He could make it work, right? He could do something in WWE. Of course he could. The guy's crazy talented. Would it be what you see today in AEW? No, not at all. They're not that edgy. He wouldn't have as much ownership over everything that he says. I just don't see it, to be honest. I believe that MJF is open for business in the sense that he's happy to attract offers, make as much money as possible. I do also think, though, that he is an AEW guy. I think he just knows what he's doing when he's saying these things. That doesn't mean he's not totally open to working for WWE. He's one of those guys that has done extra work there before. You don't have to look hard to see that. He obviously wanted to be a part of that company at one point. But he's found his success and his true calling, really, in AEW. I feel like, I know there's different people who have different opinions on how far his character goes or whatnot. But to me, I feel like he's carved out a niche in this industry that there's no one else really like him. And I agree with what he said as well. This is a weird thing, right? It's like you get these stigmas in wrestling. And if someone's just like a great promo, like for some obscure reason, he's not very good in the ring. Why? Because like he's not doing triple moonsaults or something. Like the guy has consistently had great matches since AEW's inception, going back to Jungle Boy and even beyond. Like it's like when you get these super attractive women, they go, well, they can't wrestle. What do you mean? Like do you know what I mean? Like their default setting sometimes is to make a counter argument. And I don't know why. And I feel like that's the case with MJF. Are there really still people saying that? Like, oh, well, he can't wrestle, though. He absolutely can.
This is something that's been an argument for years and something that we still get into debates about because, we're both big Rock fans. People think because The Rock is one of the greatest promos of all time, there's people that actually believe that he's not a great worker, which he absolutely is. There's been numerous great Rock matches, and it's something that me and Sat talked about on Mocha Mondays, because Sat started off one episode saying that The Miz is better than MJF, and I was like that's a blasphemous statement, and he was like, well, no, I mean on better on the mic, and it's just like, no, you said better, you said if he's better than him, that means he's better overall, and he's just not. Like, I love The Miz. I've been a fan of The Miz since Back to New York, Real World. I watched that season live. Yep. That was the first season of The Real World that I actually watched live. So I was a big fan of him from holding the title, running around, beating up his roommates, all the way to WrestleMania 27 and then beyond, talking smack, the Daniel Bryan feud, and beyond. But Miz is a promo guy. That's a guy that can be given the stigma. Not saying that The Miz hasn't had good to great matches, because he has. His stuff with Dolph Ziggler was good. His stuff with Daniel Bryan, the first feud that they had, was really good. Night of Champions 2010.
Keep his foot rolling.
Yes. So all of this leads me to say that Miz, though, is not amazing in the ring. Yoko Lina, you're my man, but he is not amazing in the ring. He's serviceable. He's passable in the ring. He can sometimes even be good in the ring, but he is the prototypical promo guy. MJF has proven that he's just not. Yes, he does it week to week, and that's his way of getting on television, is cutting a promo. And he can be entertaining and be one of the most consistent, entertaining parts of AEW through his promo work, whether he's going against a Darby Allin, whether he's going against a Cody Rhodes, whether he's going against a Chris Jericho, or right now a CM Punk. It doesn't matter. MJF is just that complete of a talker. But he is so great in the ring. Like, that Darby Allin match is probably the best pay-per-view opener in AEW history. His match with Jungle Boy almost stole the show at Double or Nothing 2020. His match with Cody was very good at Revolution 2020. Well, yeah. It doesn't matter who you put across from MJF. If he has a big match. Oh, the Chris Jericho match at All Out. That was a match that I went into that show saying that this is one of the matches I'm least interested in, because this storyline has been going on way too long. But they got the fans into it. They got me into it. And they delivered an entertaining match.
I like the story that he did with Moxley too. Like,
yeah, you know, yeah. That was the match that proved to me like he is a main eventer, because that was the best match in my opinion at All Out 2020.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, man. Like, that's the funny thing, right? Like you said, with a promo guy, the instant thing is to like the memories of their words, because that's easier to digest than like a 20-minute match. So yeah, immediately your mind will recall punchlines or things like that. With The Miz, you think the Talking Smack promo almost instantly. That'll be the first thing you think about. And then you think about the Miztourage and that era where he was just coming out and absolutely crucifying people on Raw. Like, he was killing them on the stick. I remember Reigns having to stand there and take it when he absolutely eviscerated him. Like, this is a guy who the stigma is built upon just how good they are on the other end of the spectrum. But by the same token, when you think Miz, and I think great matches, the guy's been, what's he been, 2006, 2007, his debut?
Since 2006, yeah.
You should be able to recall a lot in that period of time. And to be honest, the first one, I really enjoyed the feud with Ziggler in 2016 on SmackDown over the IC title.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed, but was left disappointed with the direction of the actual story with the Daniel Bryan stuff. But Daniel Bryan just doesn't have bad matches, so yeah, there you have it. But again, he doesn't have like a catalogue of great matches. He's not somebody you put in the ring and go, hey, you know, you'll get a solid match, right? You'll get a decent match with anyone pretty much, but he's not the guy you're going to put in there and, you know, tear the house down. So it's, but for MJF, I feel like he has got those both down. And I feel like just because there's been such made of the way he talks, that it's become a thing where they'd kind of, I don't know, people don't like to give superlatives out or plaudits for fun. It's like, hey, yeah, you know, he's so good this way. Well, this part doesn't match. Well, it's like, well, listen, you have to calibrate. You have to think about this. Like, he's putting on a body of work already at this early stage in his career. What is he, 24 or 25? It's obscene. At this stage in his career, it's a very good body of work thus far. I was really happy to see The Miz get even his tiny world title run last year, right?
Yeah,
I was happy for that.
Earlier this year, you would forget that it was still this
I would
year.
Sorry, yeah. That's Carol said. Sorry, I don't know, like I think my PS5 is downloading
you were a little fuzzy there, but then you cleared up, so you're good.
Sorry, we're back. All right, so for me, do with the landscape of WWE, okay, is what you have to start appreciating as fans. And I don't mean this in like a patronizing way, but you have to stop thinking about what you like and start thinking about what WWE does, right? Like, and sometimes those two intermingle, sure. But you know, when you have to look at their hiring process, the 15 that they took on today, and you look at the people that they push and like what they market a big star as, and even the recruitment strategy that we've seen in NXT now and how that's been revamped. Not all of that's to my taste, right? Like, I like watching great 20-minute wrestling matches, 20, half an hour, whatever it is. And AEW has picked up the bulk of the best at that, in my opinion, in-ring workers. if WWE was the place where you're going to collaborate and make magic, then people like Bray Wyatt would still be there thriving, right? And that's what leads me to think it wouldn't be plain sailing for MJF in the WWE landscape, because there'd be too many people having input on what he does and what he says. And you become, this is very important, you become the character WWE want you to portray rather than what you imagine in your mind. You're doing a job for them on TV. I think that's a big difference between AEW and WWE. And there's and you're seeing it now with the way the rosters are shaped up. There are some people that by design will thrive in WWE under that. But there are some that, you know, you let them loose in AEW, the ceiling just gets higher and higher and higher. And I think, obviously, Bryan Danielson, you're seeing that right now.
Yeah, I just I think the best way I can answer the question that we have for the Tichura News is MJF could work in WWE, just not in 2024. I think that he needs more time in AEW to further build up his name, become a bigger star, you know, feud with the CM Punks, feud with your Bryan Danielsons, and, you know, win the AEW World Championship and be that star on national television for like 2, 3, 4, 5 more years in 2027, 2028. I think WWE would sign him and they would let him do him. That's I think that he needs more time on that stage of AEW for him to be allowed to do him. It took AJ Styles 15 years on TNA, then two years, you know, running ship in New Japan Pro Wrestling before they allowed AJ to come in and be AJ. I just think MJF needs more time on his own.
I agree with what you're saying, but also, like, I don't think there's anybody that's just allowed to come in and be them, right? Like, Edge is probably one of the guys who has the most leverage than anyone.
Yeah.
Tenure, you know, stature, all of it, right? Status. And even he doesn't get to do exactly what he wants. He gets a lot, you can tell, because his feuds are crafted in such a way that they aren't the generic kind of formula that WWE goes by. And I'm talking about the Seth Rollins feud, of course, and Roman earlier this year. But by the same token, I think he even admitted, like, he didn't want to do the greatest wrestling match ever. But Vince did. And if Vince wants to do it, then you best believe Randy Orton and Edge are going out there and they're doing the greatest wrestling match ever. So I always feel like there's, you're right though, there are levels. Like, he could come in at a real top spot and he has a lot more rope. But again, you know, it depends what they value and what they're looking for. Lest we forget, as great as MJF is, and he is great, is he 6'5"? Is he a shit cow?
Yeah.
Von Wagner is who Vince McMahon wants, right? I mean, Bron Breakker, these are the guys. I'm not saying there's not a place for MJF. There'd be a great place for MJF if I ever had a federation, brother. But I'm just saying, through like the WWE lens, man, it's not always as simple.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's look at a Ultra Chat we got here from Yoko Littner, who says, a bittersweet day here at Littner Consulting. Spoke with Nikki and she decided that it would be best to go back to her Twisted Sister gimmick. That would be great, by the way, if she did.
Yes.
She believes the ASH gimmick won't work with the faction we're putting together. The faction must come first. I understand, Yoko. You got to line your business up. Get your ducks in a row. I get it. But by the way, I would love it if she went back to the gimmick.
That would be wonderful. And I like that he's prioritizing the stable over, you know, his personal needs. And I apologize, Yoko. I know you said MJF is amazing in the ring. I just read it as Miz being amazing in the ring. I was like, Miz is not amazing in the ring.
Hang now. So we've got Matty as well, the hot Scot himself. Hey, Alex and Sid, how are you both? I'm good, brother.
I don't know who Sid is, so.
That's a good point. It's a very good point. Loving the Christmas jumpers. Just want to say that the Punk MJF promo from the other week was unreal. I got cancelled from work today because of it's dead. What pandemic match would you say is the best from NXT, WWE, AEW? He wants one each. First of all, sorry, Matty, to hear that your contract's gone down to 0 hours. I don't know if SP3 is aware of all of this, but our Prime Minister has made more announcements today in the United Kingdom. So they want us to work from home again more because of the Omicron variant. Yeah, like this COVID passports and stuff. Like they basically, the festive season's up in the air. My Christmas party got cancelled today from work. 2 years in a row, I'm not getting my free drinks, man. I'm fuming. But you know,
that
best
sucks, man.
Best pandemic era match. Pandemic. I mean, I take pandemic match to mean no crowd. Are we saying that?
Well,
because the pandemic is still going, so you could just have it. Yeah. Basically, it's just match of the past, what, 2 years, right?
Like, yeah, pretty much. But I think he means of the no fans, no ticketed fans era.
So, oh, man. Oh, brutal.
WWE, I would go with Sasha Bailey, Hell in a Cell.
That's a good
one. I was
match of the year last year.
I was pissed when that wasn't included on Quizlemania when we did Family Fortunes for best pandemic matches. No, that wasn't in the top seven. That was ridiculous. NXT best pandemic match. I'd go O'Reilly and Balor from TakeOver 31. AEW, I would go Young Bucks versus FTR from Full Gear 2020. Or Stadium Stampede. Depends on what you like.
This is tough. I mean, I think the Boneyard match is probably the WWE one. Again, I'm just being different from SP3 here because I totally agree it's Sasha and Bayley. But that was my match of 2020. I don't know if anyone remembers this, but I did pick that. And by the way, my pick this year, as we approach, is Sasha and Bianca. So there you have
from
it.
WWE or match of the year in
Definitely from WWE, but perhaps overall, like you have to break down the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think like Brian and Omega is better. You know, and there are different contenders in there, but
that it just decided the AEW match of the year is going to be tough as hell.
Oh, man. I mean, the only reason I say Bianca and Sasha is just because, like, to me, wrestling is all about being entertained and feeling it, and that match is what I felt the most. Like,
yeah,
it was in an important spot. It delivered way beyond. Like, it was just to me. But by the same token, Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker, I felt the same. Like, yeah. I had that buzz after where I was like, oh man, they did something. You know what I mean? So, like, to me, it's two women's matches that are like the front runners for me this year. But anyway, that's kind of getting away from the point. Can we have Britain and Rosa?
Yeah, that counts. Yeah, that counts for pandemic matches. Yeah.
I'll have that.
Yeah, I actually would put that ahead of Young Bucks and FTA.
Yeah, I would. I didn't think that was as. Yeah, I've said this before. I'm not going to say it. NXT though, I'd have to really look back because I went
Balor and O'Reilly.
Yeah, I heard, which was great. I thought the Adam Cole O'Reilly matches were just a bit.
Nah.
They were good, right? They just weren't maybe what I would have hoped. Yeah,
Great American Bash was my favorite out of the three they had.
Yes, me too. Oh, man, I'm finding it hard to think of stuff off the top of my head, but you know, because the pandemic goes back to like mid 2020, so the last one, because the last one was Portland,
yes,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And then where did we go? Oh man, it's too hard. I don't know.
You had the one final beat match.
God, that was so bad. I spoke to Chumper about that. He was like, "Yeah, it sucked."
At least he knows. At least
he knows. He does know. He was like, it sucks even worse because he was like, the reason it sucks so bad is because like the way that feud could have culminated or should have if he hadn't got injured would have been an all-timer. It would have been amazing. Yeah. Wasn't to be. There were great NXT matches, man. I'm just having a real hard time having one that just jumps out at me. And I'm honestly having a hard time thinking about the events.
Yeah. I would
say Volta and Ilya if I like, that's the first one that's come to my mind.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I know I see Uptown Avondale. Yeah, I said Volta and Ilya. And I was going to say that had fans. The second one. The first one didn't. The first one didn't, though.
All right. Well, I've given my best shot on there. Anyway, we've got one more from Chuck Cassis, who said MJF should be able to work in WWE, but Keith Lee should have worked in WWE. Miz is an exception to the WWE model because he should have failed multiple times for 15 years, but he has something that works well for the mid-card in WWE. MJF would be a Miz 2. I mean, I agree with half of that, but I don't think he'd be a Miz 2 at all.
Yeah, I think he's definitely more talented than the Miz, I think
he's got more to bring to the table on the wrestling side. And although he's like his delivery and he's scathing is like Miz, I still think he's more cutting than the Miz, and is just more straight up offensive. Like they're different, you know, they're similar but different.
MJF is a jerk. Miz is just annoying. Like there's a difference. There's a difference. Like Miz became a heel because he was an annoying babyface. MJF is just a jerk. No one likes MJF. Not even his parents.
Please never forget, WWE said, you know what? Ric Flair's going to endorse The Miz. He's going to give him the figure four leg lock. And everyone was like, what the hell is this?
I wasn't even talking about that. I was talking about when he was the host of the Diva Search. And
He's huge on live TV as well. It was great. Anyway, we digress. Thank you for your Ultra Chats tonight, everybody. We are hit the end of the show. I did mention earlier that I spoke to Sonya Deville today. Really good chat. I said to her at the top of it, I was just joking. I was like, you know, I'm a hard hitting journalist. I'm going to have to ask you this question. And she thought I was going to ask her, like she went to jump in. She thought I was going to ask her about the Charlotte Becky thing. And cause she was there. Right.
Yeah.
And I'd already started joking about the donuts and she was like, oh, I totally thought you were going to say something else. And I was like, oh, you can talk about it if you want. She didn't. But we had some good stuff, you know, talking about, was she going to shave her head? Was Sonya going to shave her head at SummerSlam? You know, what the plans were. Was she meant to return at the Rumble? There's reports about that, remember? So she opened up about that. You know, what she thinks the lesbian storyline could be portrayed like in WWE, how it should be done. There's a lot of interesting stuff coming out of this chat, so I will give you guys more details on that tomorrow. Until then, though, thank you very much. I'll be back with Steph Chase tomorrow. SB3, tell the fine people where they can find you this week.
Find me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. I'll be on the Sports Keto Wrestling YouTube channel following SmackDown and Rampage with Dutch Mantel and Rick Uccino for Smack Talk. And then True Hill Heat 154 on Saturday, our second to last True Hill Heat of 2021. So subscribe, True Hill Heat.
Yeah, and remember, it's only a couple of Thursdays away, and it's the quiz, the Wrestling Daily end-of-year quiz. We'll give you our matches of the year, promo of the year, all that good stuff like we did last year when everything broke down because I picked Sasha Banks over Thunder Rosa. It's going to happen again this year, guys. There's going to be debates.
You're spoiling who's my woman's wrestler of the year.
Cat's out the bag. But we digress. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. And let me just tell you this. Carol Wands says here, we love Carol Wands. Rokoff, by the way. Show is too short now, but still love you guys. Well, we love you too. And all we will say is stay posted. In the new year, some changes might be afoot. Right. All the love to you guys. Thank you for joining us
here on Carol
Daily. Yeah. We will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.